This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Malik Monk just dribbling it out, and this ball game is over. Bulls win! Bulls win! Bulls win! 128-116, and let's celebrate in Sactown.
That voice you heard, the voice of the Chicago Bulls, right here on 670 The Score and the Bulls Radio Network. Chuck Swirsky, who joins me, Rami Makhlouf, on the Circa Sports Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. And Chuck is brought to you by Great Lakes Credit Union. Mr. Swirsky, how are you this evening, my man?
I'm doing well, thank you. How you doing, Rami?
Doing real good. That was a game last night. Both those teams really kind of needed, really wanted that win badly. I don't think the 12-point difference on the scoreboard at the end of the day really tells the story of how close and how hard fought a game that was. It had kind of playoff vibes to it when I was watching, Chuck.
Well, you know what? Bottom line, when you were listening, you mean, Rami? Thank you.
Yes, both.
Well, okay, so you know what, Rami? The Bulls were down by 19 in the first half. And I'm thinking, you know what? Second game of back-to-backs for both teams. The Kings didn't have to travel. They had played the night before, coming off a huge win against Cleveland. They're trying to gain some momentum as the ninth seed in the West. And I'm thinking to myself, this could be a long night. But I'll tell you what, they chipped away at that 19-point deficit, trailed by 9 at the break, and then just took over in the second half, in large part because of Kobe.
Yeah, he was on fire last night, a man possessed. Do you think, and I do want to ask you about that competitiveness that they showed to come back from that big deficit last night, and really in the month of March, they've showed a high level of competitiveness. Has Kobe really benefited the most of having more ball to go around since the Zach LaVine trade to the Kings, who we saw last night?
Well, I would think so. You know, Rami, here's the thing. In the previous 2 months, okay, we're talking about January and February, Kobe attempted 14 shots a game. You know how many shots he's getting in March?
I don't know the number, Chuck. I'm sure you do.
21. That's a huge increase. And he's gone from 5 3-point attempts to 9, okay. So what does this mean? This means that Kobe now, with the absence, obviously, in the trade of Zach, but he has the ball in his hands. You know, Giddey has been out of the lineup. He'll probably play tomorrow, I would think. But, I mean, bottom line story is that Kobe has emerged as an elite offensive player in this league. I don't think this is a fluke, Rami. I think, and I'm not saying he's going to get, you know, 35 a night or whatever the case may be, but I think he is a legitimate scoring guard in this league. And he is a winning player, by the way, because I'll tell you the thing that's really impressed me. He's going to the foul line a lot now. He went 14 times last night. But, I mean, if you look in the game log over the last few weeks, 7 times, 6 times, 11 times, 9 times, 7. I mean, and you need that, you know? You have to play through physicality in this league.
Yeah, you mentioned the increased shots, and then you touched on it there in the same answer. Last night, he was actually right on the averages that you mentioned before the Zach LaVine trade. He only shot the ball 18 times, only 5 3-pointers, But he didn't need more than that because he was so efficient and so aggressive, getting to the free throw line 14 times. That'll do a guy a lot of favors in terms of having an efficient night in the scoring department.
Yeah, and the thing is, again, you want players who are going to probe and navigate their way through the lane, understanding, Rami, you're going to get hit.
Yep.
And listen, you know, it's one thing to watch or listen on radio for a player that goes through the lane, or even if you're a spectator at an NBA game. It's another when you're on the floor and you see how physical these players can be in the paint. So when a player goes inside, they know they're going to get whacked. Okay. They know that chances are you're going to get hit and you may, you know, crash to the floor. So Kobe, you know, said, bring it on. And again, you go to the line in an NBA game 14 times, you're doing some really good things.
Yeah, he was talking with Chuck Swirsky, the voice of the Bulls. Catch them taking on the Lakers tomorrow, 9:30 tip off right here on The Score with Chuck on the call. And I'm not putting him on the same level with this guy I'm about to mention, but he was doing that move that we saw a lot from Derrick Rose, where he would kind of tuck the ball and drop his shoulder like a running back and just put all his weight into his defender to sort of create some space and get to the basket. That seems like it's becoming one of his stronger moves there around the basket, Chuck.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he likes that, where he lowers the left shoulder into a defender's chest, just to give him enough room where mm-hmm. he can then cradle the ball with the right hand and get it over the rim. And again, this is something, you know, Kobe is a gym rat, Rami. He loves being in the gym, and he loves the game of basketball. And let me tell you what, if you get a player who has a skill set of a guy like Kobe, again, along coupled with the fact that when you have passion and you can't get him out of the gym, that's a winning player, okay? And so we're seeing the maturation of still a very young man in Kobe, who's been in the league now, what, 5-6 years?
Yeah.
And so I love him as a person. He's great. Rami, last night we had him on the postgame show, and I asked him a question. You realize he never talked about himself. He talked about his teammates, talked about Vooch, talked about everything except himself. And again, you win with players like that.
I gotta admit, Chuck, and I was gonna say, I think a lot of people forget because he's been in the league for so long. I forget or don't realize this guy's only 25 years old, man, and has been in the league for as long. There's still some growing and some learning to do, and given he's where he's at now, the I think the ceiling is still yet to come, if you ask me, Chuck.
Yep. You know what? Again, he will get in the lab whenever the season ends, and hopefully the Bulls will continue to play hoops, you know, down to the fact that, you know, they're going to be in the play-in game and hopefully win a couple and then get some playoff experience against Cleveland. But, and I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but I'm just thinking, right, honestly, you know what, Rami? Let's say Atlanta, the 7-8, let's say Atlanta beats Orlando for the seventh seed, okay? Mm-hmm. So then you know, and the Bulls are going to play Miami, and the Bulls should win that game, home or road. And then the Bulls are going to play Orlando. Let's say Orlando finishes in the eighth spot, and mm-hmm. the Bulls would have to go on the road. They can win a road game in Orlando. I don't think they can win a road game in Miami, too, as they just did. So I would think if you get a situation where they go into the playoffs, I'm not talking about play-in game, that's history, but if they go into the playoffs as the eighth seed, they will be such an underdog in Cleveland. There will be absolutely no pressure on that ball club, talking about the Bulls against the Cavs, and yet it's still playoff intensity, and I think it'll be very, very good for a lot of players like a Matis Bezelis, like a Dalen Turner, who have never tasted this, who have no idea of Julian Phillips what playoff ball is all about.
Talking with Chuck Swirsky, the voice of the Bulls here on the Score Again. Catch him on the call when they take on the Lakers tomorrow, 9:30 tip-off right here and on the Bulls radio network. 6-4 now in March, Chuck, and you mentioned down big last night on the road in the second of a back-to-back against another team that also needed the win and didn't have to travel in the second of a back-to-back. All of this speaks to me to the competitiveness of this basketball team. And Chuck, we got to remember, these guys are human beings, and there's human nature in sports. And when the Zach LaVine trade happens, a lot of guys could have looked around that locker room and went, well, I guess we're packing it in for the year. I guess we're tanking this season. They have not. They've actually gotten better. And I think a lot of that credit has to go to Billy Donovan for keeping these guys focused and locked in and competitive and to win a game like that last night and really to be playing some of their best basketball of the season here down the home stretch when they were one of the teams that was quote-unquote a seller at the trade deadline.
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad you mentioned this, Rami, because, number one, you know, to get traded in midseason is very, very difficult. For a player, you know, you got to learn a new system. You're with new teammates. They want you to report, obviously, within 48 hours, which is, you know, an NBA Players Association and in the collective bargaining agreement, which I'm all for, because players do have personal lives, and especially for players who have children, and, you know, you want to make sure that they're taken care of and that they've got people to watch them, whether it's their significant other or family members, whatever sure. The case may be. So, I mean, but it's hard. And then coupled with the fact you come into a new system, I mean, Sacramento's system in San Antonio was not even close to being what the Bulls are running with the pace and three-point shooting. So now you've got guys like Zach Collins, who was out of the rotation with San Antonio, Trey Jones, out of the rotation, basically in and out a little bit, not seeing a lot of burn with the Spurs. Kevin Huerter was completely out of the rotation with Sacramento after having really tough struggles in the first half of the season. So these three players come in, and I agree with you. Once LaVine got traded, I think probably a lot of people felt, okay, this is the first step where, you know, the Bulls are going to be in the lottery. And I know we have a dozen games to go, but it certainly appears that the Bulls have a legitimate shot at getting the eighth overall spot and play Cleveland in the first round. Of the teams that are in there, probably Atlanta with the seventh seed would be a favorite over the Bulls if that game was in Atlanta. But I'm telling you right now, if the Bulls play either Orlando or Miami or both, they're going to beat those teams. I can tell you that right now, the way the Bulls are playing and the depth they have. And I'm not saying I'm putting them in the Hall of Fame and that they're going to beat Cleveland, because they, you know, they'll be prohibitive, you know, underdogs to that series, and they should. But all I'm saying is Billy Donovan deserves a lot of credit because these players, Rami, are playing very, very hard. And even when they're down by 19, as they were last night, they keep coming at you. And I thought Billy did a great job with starting Julian Phillips in the second half past and over Matis Bezelis, because Phillips, with his length and with his defensive base, really bothered the Kings on pick and rolls. And when he had to cover DeRozan, did a good job. When he had to cover LaVine, did a good job. So that was one of the keys to the game.
You know, you talk about it being difficult or weird for the players when they get traded midseason. Is it weird for you, Chuck? Because I gotta admit, when I turned on my radio yesterday and then later turned on my TV after I got home, it was a little weird to see the duo of LaVine and DeRozan back together again. Not like players don't get traded, or even a couple of players don't get traded to the same team. It's just the circuitous route that they took to being reunited there in Sacramento. And then B, usually don't see like the two faces of a franchise go from one place to another together, figuratively speaking. I know they didn't go in the same move. Was that odd for you to see that tandem in a different uniform for the Kings last night?
Well, you know what, Rami, I've been doing this such a long time.
Right,
this is my 27th
yeah.
year in the league. So, I mean, you have to accept the fact that trades and free agency, just a part of the game. It's the business side of things. But I'll say this. I had a good talk with Zach. He's happy, but he loved Chicago. He loved the Bulls. He loved everything about the city, and he has nothing but great memories about the city of Chicago because, you know, he was an All-Star twice. And, you know, the things he had to say about just the people within the organization of the Bulls and how people were always kind of considerate. And with DeRozan, I had a good talk with DeMar, and again, same thing. Loves the city, love playing at the United Center, love getting after it. And again, this is just a part of the culture of NBA ball, where players, they get traded, they sign free agent contracts, they move on. But it is unusual, as you mentioned, where probably the two biggest faces of the franchise right. over a handful of years with LaVine and DeRozan reunite in Sacramento.
I did want to ask you one more thing, Chuck, before I let you go. Both being the voice of the Bulls and just your place in Chicago sports media and Chicago sports talk. Earlier this week, folks in Chicago were celebrating what we're now calling I'm Back Day. It was the anniversary of Michael Jordan announcing his return to the Bulls in simply two words in the facts, just I'm back. And we all know what took place after that. What were your remembrances, your thoughts, your emotions of the, what was your reaction to hearing that Michael Jordan was back in just those two words to the Chicago Bulls?
Well, you know what, Rami, from a personal standpoint, I was actually at that period of my life calling the University of Michigan. I left Chicago mm-hmm. in 1994, in August of 94, and I spent 4 years broadcasting Michigan basketball, doing pre-op and post for their football team, and doing a bunch of stuff, you know, pre and post with the Tigers, intermission with the Red Wings. I was doing morning sports. And so when Jordan came back, I mean, still a part of me was in Chicago.
Right.
And
yeah.
So when, you know, it did surprise me that he came back. Absolutely not. I thought maybe he would wait until training camp in October to, you know, return. But again, one thing with Michael, and this I know for a fact, especially after listening to stories from Bill Wennington, he is the most competitive individual that I've ever seen, met, or witnessed in my life. And the stories Bill tells just about practice and how hard Michael Jordan practiced. And, you know, to with all due respect to Allen Iverson, Michael Jordan embraced practice. And because there was no dichotomy between practice for MJ and a game. And so when they would split up sides, you know, that great story about Doug Collins, where yeah. Doug, you know, split up teams and whatnot, and Jordan, you know, and where Doug changed the score during practice and Jordan got really hot and upset because, I mean, that was Michael Jordan in, you know, under the microscope. And that's how he got after it every single day. That's why, you know, with all due respect to LeBron, great player. He's not even in my top five, honestly, of all-time NBA players, and I've covered this league for decades. He's a tremendous player, great, great player. But with all due respect, and I'm not sounding like a, you know, an old man here, but MJ remains the greatest player ever in the history of this league, period.
I agree with you, and I think most of the people within the sound of your voice are agreeing with you right now. Chuck Swirsky, the voice of the Chicago Bulls. Follow him on Twitter at CTS Bulls. Catch him tomorrow on the call as they continue this trip out west, taking on the Lakers. 9:30 tip-off right here on The Score and the Bulls Radio Network. And Chuck Swirsky is brought to us by Great Lakes Credit Union. Chuck, always appreciate the time, my man. Great talking to you. Let's do it again soon.
All right, Rami. Be well. Thank you.
And he joins me on the Circa Sports Hotline. Join us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline and find them at CircaLasVegas.com. I said before I brought Chuck on that I'm all in. I'm sold on Genty at 10. I think I'd be disappointed if they did anything other than taking Ashton Genty at 10, assuming he's there. Well, if my word means nothing to you, I'll bring you the word of smarter, more inside football people. That's coming up next. Rami Makhlouf with you on The Score on a Friday night right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That's me with you until 9 o'clock here on The Score evening show. Bob Nightingale USA Today, Major League Baseball columnist, president of the Baseball Writers Association. He'll be here to talk some Cubs, Sox, Major League Baseball with me coming up at 8 o'clock. Coming up about 7:45. Good news and bad news for the Bears and the rest of the NFC North. But that's coming up at about 7:45. Just talked to Chuck Swirsky. Before that, I was telling folks why I'm all in. I'm fully in on Ashton Jeanty with the number 10 pick in the draft. Should he fall to the Bears at that spot? And I made some of my own points, read you some points from Adam Johns, the Bears beat writer for The Athletic, such as he's the best running back in a very good running back class, which just means he's a very, very good running back. The fact that he's a blue chip player, an impact player, a difference maker, which I think the Bears need at really any I could get it from any position and I'd be happy. The fact that the Lions with Ben Johnson 2 years ago, they took a guy by the name of Jahmyr Gibbs at number 12 and that worked out pretty well for them. So a lot of points to be made on why the Bears should go in on Ashton Jeanty if indeed he is there, the Boise State running back at number 10. But like I said then, if you don't take my word with any weight, if it doesn't hold a lot of weight with you in terms of what the Bears should do at number 10 and why they should take Ashton Jeanty, and maybe Adam Johns didn't even convince you, I lined up Let's call them witnesses to put on the stand in support of Ashton Jeanty at the number 10 pick for the Chicago Bears, because I'm not the only one. And this does seem to be picking up some steam that the Bears should take him at number 10. So got a few people here who know football, both from inside and outside the game, that feel kind of the same way that I do. The first one I want to hear from is from CBSSports.com. This is Mike Renner, their scouting and draft specialist, talking about the Bears and Ashton Jeanty at number 10.
I think Ashton Jeanty is the best back in like at least 7 years. I think he's better than Bijan. I think he's more NFL ready than Bijan, or like he runs in a more NFL manner than Bijan ever did. It's powerful, contact balance. There's just like not anything to dislike. The guy catches the ball. He is an awesome, awesome prospect. Not to say Amarian Hampton's not, but it's just like it's levels to this. And that's why you're talking a guy who could go as high as 6 overall versus a guy who's great. Amarian Hampton's second rounder, in my opinion. He's not ascendant or transcendent in any way, shape, or form. He's just a very, very good running back prospect who will be very, very good at the NFL level. But again, I don't see anything that's going to transform. You know, first round running back is reserved for special, unique traits. Love Hampton. I just don't see that.
The best running back prospect in 7 years. It's pretty dang good, man. And I know that the running back position up until last year, when it was revived or rejuvenated by Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry and the like, it's not been the most valued position in the league here of late. But the best running back prospect in 7 years coming out of the draft, if Mike Renner is right. I just mentioned Saquon Barkley. And no, I'm not saying Ashton Jeanty is going to come in and be Saquon Barkley right away, but a lot of people. And Dave Wanstead earlier tonight on Spiegel and Holmes with Mark Grody filling in for the Holmes half of that show, he was talking about how the Eagles did it and how they won a Super Bowl, and talking about the great pass rush and defensive line that they had. And that's obviously true. Not here to dispute Wanny when he says that, but what else carried that team to a Super Bowl? And I know the Super Bowl wasn't his best game, but the Eagles were kind of a mess at the end of the previous season. Like, they were talking about firing Nick Sirianni at the end of the previous season. And Saquon Barkley comes in and just fixes everything for that offense, settles everything down, and really was the backbone of, if not the entire team, the offense for all of last year, and showed you what a feature back who, again, is that impact difference maker, game changer type of player, what that guy can do for an offense. It's why I wanted Saquon Barkley last year in free agency. And how much, not just could he have helped the offense, but how much does that ease a rookie into the NFL? to have that standing behind you, a guy who every defense that you face has to game plan for and has to account for on every single play. That would have been amazing. And I don't think Ashton Jeanty, and especially not as a rookie, brings that type of impact or strikes that kind of fear into an opposing defense. But I think the running back is back in the NFL. And if Ashton Jeanty is the best prospect at that position in 7 years, as Mike Renner from CBS Sports says, that's a guy that you go and get, even if you might have other needs, even if there might be other good players on the board at 10, that's the type of player that you bring in and changes your football team. Another guy, like I said, I have a lineup of witnesses here to speak in support of Ashton Jeanty at number 10 for the Chicago Bears. This guy is the play-by-play voice for the Boise State Broncos? Tyler, are they the Boise State Broncos?
Broncos.
Broncos. For the Boise State Broncos, this is Bob Baylor, their play-by-play voice, talking about running back Ashton Jeanty and what makes him special.
He's tough to bring down. Great balance. Great acceleration. Hits holes. Tough. I mean, I learned very quickly that you better not give up on a play because he's going to be finding a way to leak out the backside if you don't wrap things up. So strong. He had a really good year as a sophomore and then had an even better year as a junior. Again, he's only played in college for 3 years. He's coming out a year early. So and somebody that I think you'd like in your locker room as well. So he checks all the boxes for a running back. And if you guys are fortunate enough to get him, as I say, I don't think you'll be disappointed.
Let me ask you this about Jeanty. Like, what's the, because you went through a lot of the things that he does well. Obviously, he's hard to take down, and maybe that's the answer. But what's the biggest thing about Jeanty if people don't know about him? Is it the speed? Is it the power? Like, if there's one trait about him that makes him the running back that he is, what is it in the case of Ashton Jeanty?
I would think maybe it's his ability to make people miss him or he'll run through them. I think it's the ability to get some long runs. I mean, he had, 10 50-plus touchdown runs on the season, 8 that went for more than 60 yards. I mean, obviously some of the ones over 50 were also over 60, and then he had 5 of them that went for more than 70 yards. He probably don't have the breakaway stuff against the NFL people as much as you would with some of these college teams. But I don't know. It just seems like when he puts his mind to something, he's going to do it. I remember last year at Media Day, he was talking about 2,000 yards. And the year before, he was under 2,000 yards, all purpose. He had about, 1,500 rushing and about 500 receiving.
Yeah.
And so I say to him, as he's talking about 2,000 yards, I said, "You're talking all purpose?" And he shook me off and he says, "No, I'm talking rushing." And I'll tell you, that day I thought, wow, that's a pretty big goal if you think you're going to rush for 2,000 yards. I mean, the number of people who have done that over the years is, 2,000, in a college season that, I mean, Boise State played 14 games, but sometimes you might only get 12.
There's Bob Baylor, the voice of Boise State football, talking with Mark Grody last night right here on 670 The Score. Did you hear those numbers? 10 touchdowns of 50 yards or more, 8 of those for 60 yards or more, and I think you said 5 were for 70 yards or more. Now, obviously, he's playing in college, and obviously, Boise State not in the greatest conference, not facing the best competition in college. But man, if you can get a fraction of that at the NFL level to rip off those types of big plays, the Bears simply did not have that in the arsenal. And I know with the offensive line and Caleb being in year two and Ben Johnson being the head coach and you got the weapons and DJ Moore and Roma Dunze and Cole Kmet, that they hope that will sort of remedy the problem of the big play missing or lacking from that offense. But to add a guy like that, and just as he talked about, the dedication of setting his mind to something and getting it done by hell or high water, those are the types of guys that make it at the next level and make a difference and make an impact at the next level. One more person I wanted you to hear from, and this was, I just referenced this interview earlier tonight, Dave Wonstedt with Matt Spiegel and Mark Grody right here on The Score. Grody in for the Holmes half of the Spiegel and Holmes program. And like I said, early in the interview, it sounded like Wani was saying, go for the pass rusher or go fortify your offensive line more. And he was referring back to that Eagles championship team and how they did it with that defensive line, four players dominating the line and getting after the quarterback. But then at the end, this honestly threw me for a loop. Wani, he joins me on the bandwagon to go and get Ashton Jeanty.
Watching what Ben Johnson did at Detroit the last couple of years, they're going to be up under center a lot. They're going to be running the ball a lot. They're going to be play action pass. And then obviously when they have to drop back in the gun and throw it, they will. But that's right in my, that offensive style is right in my wheelhouse. And so I'm excited. I really think that and it gives your defense a better chance to win. And if we can run the ball, God, and they're talking about the Ashton Jeanty kid from Boise, take him. I mean, if he's that type of player,
at 10,
take him.
Would you do it at 10?
I'd do it. Why not?
There's Dave Wonstedt. If Wani is in on it, that's like the most football-y football guy that we got on these airwaves. Well, him or Olin Krutz, one of the two. Those are guys who almost every time I hear them talk about the Bears and needs or just a sport of football and where it starts, they go right to the trenches. Right to the trenches. You got to shore up that. And like I said, Wani was saying that earlier in that interview. At the start of my drive to the end of my drive, he went from, you know, go and fortify this defensive line more to joining me on the Ashton Jeanty bandwagon. If Wonstedt is saying, if Wani is saying it, and not harping on the lines or the trenches, then there is something to this. When I first started talking about this, and again, like I said, I was talking about this before they shored up the offensive line. I was looking at this guy and going, man, do you gotta maybe think about taking this guy? I like to hear from smarter people than I who validate the opinions that I have. I don't mind saying that. And when Mike Renner, CBS Sports draft analyst and draft expert, is saying he's the best running back to come out of the draft in 7 years, when Bob Baylor talks about his dedication and his fortitude to accomplish anything he sets his mind to, not to mention scoring touchdowns from anywhere on the field, and then Dave Wonstedt, of all people, gets in on the Ashton Jeanty hype and discussion, That just lets me know I'm on to something here, and I am all in. I'm fully in on Ashton Jeanty being the Bears' first-round pick this year. How about you? You can get in on the show. Shoot me a text, 312-644-6767, if you want to get in on some Bears talk. And speaking of the Bears, some good news and some bad news for your football team and the rest of the NFC North. We'll discuss that. I'll read some of your thoughts on Ashton Jeanty right after this. Rami Makhlouf in on the Score Evening Show right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's interesting the amount of power that people think that I have.
Robbie Makhlouf with you on the Score Evening Show on a Friday night. Your text welcome at 312-644-6767. Been talking about Ashton Jeanty earlier in this hour. If you want to get in on that, I'm all in on the running back out of Boise State being the Bears' number one pick. That was Aaron Rodgers you just heard coming out of the break. Get to that in just 1 second. But a couple of your texts that came in on the subject of Ashton Jeanty being the Bears' number 10 pick. This one from the 773. I'd rather have Abdul Carter than Ashton Jeanty. That would be tempting. If both of those guys were on the board at number 10, that would be tempting. I don't think Abdul Carter gets. I think you have a better chance of Ashton Jeanty slipping to you at number 10 than you do Abdul Carter, just because of the value that people place on pass rushers. This text also from the 773. He got stuffed on most plays in the most important game of his career against a good defense. He didn't do anything, which is true. I'm somebody who's not going to go on one game and take the larger sample size of this guy being maybe the most dominant single-handed force in college football last year. with again, the ability, as we heard from their play-by-play guy, the ability to score from anywhere on the field. I forgot how many he said in that soundbite we played, but a lot of touchdowns over 50, 60, and 70 yards, which is something that I don't know we saw in Chicago last year. I legitimately don't know if they had a touchdown that was, they had to have had one that was 50. I don't know if they had any touchdowns that were 60 or 70 yards long. Tyler, you and I did a bunch of those overnight shows together. Do you remember us ever talking about that 60-yard or 70-yard touchdown that the Bears ripped off?
Not once.
Not once. I don't remember that happening. Not once. So, yeah,
I'm sure there's a longer one that I'm forgetting, but the first one that comes to my mind in terms of like being the longest one of the year, it's got to be that Caleb Williams 35-yard dot to DJ Moore against Carolina.
Yeah, that might be it. That might have been. I know somebody is going to text in and tell us we're wrong.
There was a really long Keenan Allen one, too, against Detroit late in the season. But I don't know if that was longer than the DJ Moore one against Carolina.
And I don't think either of them approached 50 yards.
None eclipsed 40. I know that for sure. So you're talking wild, about 50 and then double the amount of yardage of that.
That's wild. Like I said, we heard a little soundbite of Aaron Rodgers there coming out of the break, playing coy, saying he doesn't really have any power. Well, the latest news on Aaron Rodgers is that he visited with the Steelers today, and a lot of people were saying he might leave the facility with a deal, that they might come to terms on a contract before he left the Steelers facility today. However, according to Diana Rossini, despite one team source expressing optimism that an agreement could be reached Friday, Rodgers left the Steelers facility without a deal. There is no indication that Rodgers has any other visits scheduled, a league source said. She adds Rodgers hoped to sign with the Minnesota Vikings, but the team decided not to add him for now, choosing instead to give 2024 first-round pick J.J. McCarthy every chance to win the starting job. And that for now, That's doing a lot of work for Diana Rossini right there. That they decided not to add him for now, because the Vikings did not close the door on Aaron Rodgers. They essentially said, we're going to see what J.J. McCarthy can do in our offseason programs and give him a chance to win the starting job. But if you're still around, we might circle back with you later, Aaron. And Aaron Rodgers, as she said right there, really, really wanted to go to the Vikings. And I understand why, because if you're Aaron Rodgers and you watched what Kevin O'Connell was able to get out of Sam Darnold last year, and you're 41 going on 42-year-old quarterback who's less than 2 years removed from an Achilles rupture that had to be surgically repaired, I'm looking at that, not to mention maybe the best receiver in football in Justin Jefferson, Addison Reed, TJ Hockenson, his buddy Aaron Jones standing behind him. Aaron Rodgers had to be looking at that and going, whatever there is to get out of this last year or last couple of years in my career, that's the place to go and get it. He's also playing indoors for 10 or 11 games out of the season. And I'm going to be real with you. I'm glad that the Vikings have passed on Aaron Rodgers for now. As a Bears fan, I am glad that guy is not going to be in the division and playing for Kevin O'Connell, because I'm a big believer in that guy as a head coach and as an offensive play caller and as kind of a quarterback guru who can get the most, whatever that might be, can get the most out of whatever quarterback it is that he's coaching. And he showed that with Sam Darnold last year. The idea of Aaron Rodgers going there, and I'm not saying he was going to find his MVP form again playing for Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota, but the idea of Aaron Rodgers going there, and like I said, everything that's working in his favor and to his advantage if he ended up there in Minnesota, kind of a scary thought. And I know a lot of people think there's nothing left in the tank with Aaron Rodgers, and that could be true. He might just be done. Guys don't tend to get better at his age. But like I said, if there's anything left to get out of that guy, I think Kevin O'Connell and the Vikings and all the weapons that he'd have and 10 or 11 games inside in within the division, that could work wonders for a guy trying to sort of find that magic and that form again late in his career. That would have been a tough matchup for the Bears facing Aaron Rodgers twice a year under the tutelage of Kevin O'Connell. I still think the Vikings might be a problem with J.J. McCarthy because of everything I just said about Kevin O'Connell and what that offense has going for it. But I just think Aaron Rodgers would have been dangerous in Minnesota. I think he very well could have been dangerous for that Vikings team.
Robbie,
and that part
I,
of me is I
gotta,
glad he's not coming back.
Sorry to interrupt you. I got a question for you there. You were going right where I was about to ask. So they just won 14 games with Sam Darnold last year as their quarterback. Mm-hmm. I'll throw this out at you here. If Aaron Rodgers starts all 17 games for the Vikings this year like Sam Darnold did, the Vikings are a blank win team in 2025 with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback.
I'd have to look at their schedule because it's not as easy as, well, you're replacing Sam Darnold with Aaron Rodgers. How many more or less wins does that give you? You know what I mean? The schedule plays a factor into it too. I have to look at their schedule, but I'll answer your question this way, Tyler. However many wins they could get with Sam Darnold in the schedule that they're going to play in 2025, I believe they can get at least as many, if not one or two more, with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. Because here, I'll answer your question kind of by throwing a question back at you and anybody else out there who might want to answer it at 4. I almost threw out the Milwaukee numbers, as I said I would do at the beginning of the show.
You caught yourself this time.
312-644-6767 if you want to get in. I'll answer your question with a question, Tyler. You got to win a football game today. You could have Aaron Rodgers, even with his advanced age and injury history, or you can have Sam Darnold. Which one are you picking to win you a football game today?
This might surprise you. I'm going with Sam Darnold.
Really?
Really?
I'm still going with Aaron Rodgers. I'm still going with I think that guy has a better chance to win you a football game than Sam Darnold was. He was just, and look, man, I know a lot of people, and he deserves some of it, but I know a lot of people are going to pin the last couple of years in New York and the disaster that was on Aaron Rodgers. But that's the Jets, man. You know what I mean? For all the talk about the dysfunction and how bad an organization the Bears are, the Jets are one of the few teams that have given them a run for their money in terms of futility and dysfunction and incompetence. Rodgers wasn't going to go in there and fix that. And I just want to get this in, Tyler. People think he's like a distraction or a detriment to winning football games. Other than a couple of wide receivers who Aaron Rodgers did not speak up for to get the contracts they thought they should get in Green Bay, other than those guys, you'll be hard-pressed to find a teammate or a coach or somebody, you know, from the training staff that has a bad word to say about Aaron Rodgers. He wins Teammate of the Year awards everywhere that he goes. Aaron Rodgers is a problem for front offices, and Aaron Rodgers is a problem for the media. Aaron Rodgers isn't a problem really for coaches, isn't a problem to his teammates, or I think somebody that hinders you or stops you from winning football games. Some of that stuff is overblown.
I respect those opinions. I just felt like watching the 2022 season, the regression started for him his last year with Green Bay. And I completely agree with what you're saying about the Jets have ruined a lot of quarterbacks. They sure have. But I felt like the regression was already setting in that last year with the Packers, and the Jets just enhanced it more by kind of being a mirage and doing what they were doing to a lot of other quarterbacks.
It is possible that there is just no gas left in the tank. That's entirely possible. I would take that gamble if I'm the Vikings. And a lot of the reason I'll take that gamble is because of Kevin O'Connell and the weapons that he has to throw around him and all the indoor games that he's going to play between their home games and visiting Detroit. And I don't know what other domed games that they might have on their schedule. So I'm glad he's not coming back to the NFC North. And I'm a little sad just because I like pettiness and drama and Aaron Rodgers coming back to Minnesota the same way Brett Favre did so many years ago and being, you know, a thorn in the side of the Packers, hopefully for a year or two. That would bring me some joy watching that whole soap opera play out. So we'll see if he ends up with the Steelers, or maybe the Vikings open that door again if they don't like what they see from J.J. McCarthy in their offseason work. We'll hit a quick break, switch gears on the other side, talk some Cubs, Sox, baseball with Bob Nightingale of USA Today. He joins me, Rami Makhlouf, on the Score Evening Show right after this.